For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast is fueled by The Man Shake. I lost 30 kilos in 10 months using this meal replacement shake. If you want to support the show and Max in my weight loss journey, or to even start your own, click the link in the description below. The Man Shake. Real blokes, real results.
For the Players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation, 6+ years in that games media combined, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, please check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of our links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, be part of the chat, and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. Be sure to, if you're on the podcast service, give a 5-star rating and a written review, or if you are on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support the show financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, other assorted shit with our logos on it. Still no Ko-fi. Max, we are once again doing the digital. We're not in the same room again. No, it's not another lockdown here in Victoria. The only thing locked down is Max's house, because Max is just surrounded by infected people.
Yeah. My wife and kid are super sick at the moment, so I decided to. I've dodged the bullet all week, but I'd feel pretty guilty if I got anyone sick, so I'm just gonna lie low at home.
Yeah, it's probably a good call. I appreciate to get the sickness. But one thing I've noticed, like, I don't think I've gotten sick like all of quarantine time, like at all last year or this year. Everyone around me is just getting sick constantly.
Well, I did the same thing. I was fine like all of last year, and then I took time off from work the day after my holiday started. I got sick.
Yeah. Because your body just stopped. Well, because I haven't stopped either, so I guess that's probably why. The second that I slow down, I might just start caving in on myself. Who knows? How you been, man?
Yeah, it's been all right. Yeah. Apart from everyone being sick, and, you know, my kid had a fever of like 40 degrees yesterday, which is why we didn't record yesterday afternoon.
Not good.
Could literally cook food on her body.
Well, yeah, it was the thing. You messaged me like, hey, can we like record tomorrow? I'm like, oh, sure. Why? What's up? My kid's like fucking 40 degrees. I'm like, damn. Yeah, that's cool. Dude, yes. Go do that.
So that was fun. Got to sit in the doctor's office for, despite running for, you know, appointment times, my appointment ran 20 minutes late. So that was, I had to sit in there waiting, but wasn't too bad. So she's now on, got some penicillin for what ails her.
Yeah.
First time she took, you're frozen already.
Oh, no. I thought I fixed it.
The first time she took it, she kind of like threw up everywhere. It was kind of horrendous, but she seems to be on the mend now. She seems a lot higher spirits today, so hopefully, fingers crossed, everything's, you know, it's going to be one of those 2-day sicknesses as opposed to a 2-week sickness.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Getting on top of it nice and early, you'll be able to sort of get her all soaked up. But yeah, my week's been pretty quiet, man. Not a whole lot. A lot of work stuff. I had a loss in the family this week. My wife's grandfather passed away last weekend. So he was 97, and he nicely passed away in his sleep on Saturday night. So good news. It was mad. Like, it wasn't like super brutal, you know, passing or anything. Yeah. So we had his service for him on Friday, which was awesome. So I made the video, the photo video for them, and I also got up there and spoke on behalf of my wife and her brother, because neither of them are very good public speakers. They'll admit that. Without emotion, they're not very good. So I jumped in there and took it for and did that for him, which was cool. I was happy to do so. Other than that, not a whole lot. Like, I've been really, really, it's nothing to do with PlayStation, by the way, really getting into the MCU again.
Okay.
So WandaVision has got me so endlessly hyped for all the Marvel things again.
Yeah.
Because there was a window of time where I was just burnt out on video games too. Burnt out on superheroes. Everything about them. Like superhero movies. I was like, yeah, there's too many. You're killing me. What the fuck are you doing?
So what is it about WandaVision that's...
It's just really, really good. Is the one thing. And there's constant threads, and it's that mixing of genres that are kind of nice. Mm-hmm. A mixing of it's all one big theme. I mean, like in genres in terms of the sitcoms. It's just got a really good throughput, and it's kind of bringing in so much, and it's setting up because it is kind of set up against for the next phase. So
yeah, of course.
I'm digging where it's going. I like the little hints that it's dropping. I still could not
care less about Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
I just don't care at all.
I'll watch it because I'm into it. I'm invested now.
I'll watch it, but I don't think it's going to be like one of those, it's Friday, Falcon and the Winter Soldier's out. I better watch it before someone spoils it for me.
Yeah.
I'll just watch it at the end. I don't really care.
Like the way they handled grief this week, was in this episode this week, like it was just exceptional.
Yeah.
So like I went to the gym and I just watched it on my phone while I was running. And then I was like,
yep.
That wasn't it. I did not give this the service that it desired. So I came home and thankfully Millie was watching it. So I was like, I sat on the bed and watched it again with her.
Yeah.
Like I watched it and I took it all in and then I was like, that was insufficient. Like I have let this show down. So coming back home and then sitting down and watching it again really kind of made a lot of it hit harder, which I really liked. Because it allowed me to reprocess a lot of what was said and sort of some of the imagery thing, which was really nice. But yeah, I know this is a real complete side discussion about MCU, but whew, God, it was good. So good. So good. But it just makes me all excited for what it could be. Knowing that, like, you know, Doc Strange and... Anyway, speaking of gym, though, this is a session, you know, you would have heard at the start of the show, both Max and I are on weight loss journeys. I lost 30 kilos last year using a product called The Man Shake. It's a meal replacement shake that I am an ambassador for. So, you know, that The Man Shake, social medias, whatever. Max, you started your journey this year. You are now in week 8, I think.
Yeah, I think week 8
week
now.
Week 8, somewhere around there. How's it going for you? What are you at? Where are you at
this
now?
This week kind of sucked, I must admit. I plateaued this week. I put on a little bit. I'm attributing that to I didn't work for 3 days last week, so there's 30Ks worth of walking that I would normally do at work that I didn't do. And with everyone being sick, we've been a little bit lax in our meals this week.
Yeah.
So...
And that's it. Life, man.
I'm just gonna come back and smash it next week, hopefully.
Yeah, very nice. But yeah, the life happens, man. Like it's not always a constant decline. And that was something that took me a long time. When you're sick,
liquid meals just do not sit well.
No. It was one of the things that took me the longest to get around when I first started my journey. It wasn't just boo, it was like boop, 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 my son of a bitch. So that's why I weighed myself every day.
Well, you're frozen again.
I know. God damn it. That's why I would weigh myself every day.
I don't weigh myself every day.
But I did it intentionally so I would see the up and down. So then I become accustomed to it. So if I was to weigh myself once a week and every time it was fucking up or down, I'd be like, I'm going, like, what am I doing wrong? But every day I'd be like, all right, cool. Well, I know I ate that last night, so I know what that's going to do to me tomorrow. So it kind of allowed my expectation. So I myself, I weighed in at the lowest that I've weighed at this entire journey, which is brilliant this week. So that's 110.5.
Nice.
So which is great. So that was mad. I really enjoyed that. And then I destroyed that shit last night with a taco feast. So what are you going to do? But no, so like it's been good. So the gym is certainly helping. Obviously, a lot more cardio and stuff every day is really kicking that into gear, and I really appreciate that because I've as I said before, I've come to terms that I am a bigger dude genetically, so I do have a threshold, and I don't think I'll get under 100 kilos like I have planned. But at least I can get a little bit more trimmer. Maybe I can get a little bit more, you know, toned. I don't know. I've got flabby bits everywhere. Getting rid of them would be nice. But if you want to join us on our weight loss journey, support us, or start it yourself, there's a link in the description. Go over there, show some love to The Man Shake by showing us some love, clicking that link, and maybe you can change your life as well. It's such a vague and fucking profound statement, but no, it has. It's really changed my life. Like, I can do so many things that I couldn't do before. I just feel better as a human most of the time, except I still have lots of moments of body dysmorphia, which is awesome. I love looking in the mirror and feeling that I'm just as fat as ever. It's, your brains are fucked.
Yep.
Anyway, Mac, what have you been playing this week?
This week I have been playing on Switch a lot. I've been playing Bravely Default 2 because mm-hmm. that came out on Friday. I'm about 3 hours in, and it's rubbing me in all the right ways that a JRPG normally does. So I actually bought it to play on the plane. I'm supposed to be in Queensland right now, but thanks to the lockdown last week, border shut and blah blah blah. So that's why I got that.
Yeah. So we had the best show lined up. We had the best show lined up. We're going to have Paul from Player 2. He and I were going to deliver the best PlayStation podcast you've ever seen in your life. Sorry, Max.
That's fine.
But, you know, it's something you're just going to have to wait. It's not happening. It's not happening. And also, Magic Cast in the chat says, love seeing you boys kick goals. Keep it up. Thank you, my friend. We're trying.
We are trying. other than that, I've been playing the new season of Call of Duty kicked off. So with that came the new Zombies mode, Onslaught.
That's in the Warzone, yeah?
It turns out you need to have multiplayer installed, not Warzone, because it uses the new multiplayer maps.
Okay.
So what it is you get the big vehicle maps. So the maps are much bigger than what you're usually used to. On the map, there will be essentially what a side quest. So there could be... there's a boss arena zone where it just spawns in a crapload of boss zombies. There's like a hidden chest that spawns in enemies to unlock it. There's the feed the dragon, so you got to kill enemies in a certain area, and a dragon head comes down and eats the zombies, and then you get loot. And then you've got the main mission, which is one of six randomly assigned missions. It could be like a defend the point, escort the monkey, kill the high value target. And once you kill that, it brings up an anomaly. You go to the anomaly, you spawn in a beacon, and then you travel to the next map. And then it's just a rinse and repeat, and you just do that, and it just rotates through the three maps. It's very much zombies. It's just in a more open space area. And instead of going, well, we've now done everything we can, but let's just get to the highest round. We're just going to stay in each of our zones where we're safe. It's now, well, we can go and do this side quest, or we can go do this side quest, and...
Zombies can do.
So it gives you something to work towards, as opposed to just being like, I need to kill zombies to get to the next round.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice. It's nice to have something to do other than just kind of walk around in a circle and kill zombies as they all line up behind you.
That's good.
So that's been fun. And lastly, I've been playing a lot of the Outriders demo that launched Friday morning.
How are you finding it as I've frozen again? Let me one second.
So it's very much a third-person cover-ish shooter, similar to that of like The Division, or to throw it back, old school Army of Two. It's the only other cover shooter that I can think of off the top of my head. It's probably more like Division. I've found the cover mechanics to be kind of janky. You can run from point to point cover, but you can't go around the side. Like if you're standing on a box, you can't cover from one flat face and walk around the corner and stay in cover. You kind of just lose the cover and walk off.
Okay.
So I've found that if I don't play it as a cover shooter, I have much more fun with the game.
But are you disadvantaged because of it?
No. So the way the game works is there's no health regen.
Okay.
The only way to gain health is, depending on what class you are, is basically get kills. So it uses the Doom kind of setup of you need to get close, which means you'll take damage, but when you get kills, you'll gain health.
It's that constant risk and reward sort of thing.
Yeah. So the character I'm playing this. So there's four classes to choose from. I'm currently playing the Trickster. So mine's very high mobility. It's got a lot of teleports. It's got a lot of things where I can slow down all enemies in the area. So basically I'm the only character with a shield as well. So I get shield and health on kills.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I just dive into a bunch of enemies, open my slow field, which makes me immune to bullets, and then I just shoot everything in the area and then teleport back out to safety. I'm just like, I don't need cover. Cover's okay. Garbage.
So it's just the character that you've chosen that
rules. Yeah, so I've played one of the other characters, the Technomancer, which is supposed to be like a long-range support character. Has a lot of gadgets. Really wasn't for me. Had like mines and turrets as abilities. I wasn't really feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
The people that I played with, one was using the Pyromancer class, which seemed to be like your kind of standard fire wizard. Lots of fireballs, firewalls, and explosions everywhere. And then the last one's a tank, so you can jump in. One of his abilities is you sponge every single bullet that's shot at you for a period of time, and then once the timer runs out, you shoot all of those bullets back to where they came from.
So that seemed pretty cool. So you kind of just jump in.
Yeah, you kind of just jump into the middle of everyone and blow it up. I've had a few bugs, a few crashes, which is kind of, you know, it's a demo. Understandable.
But so you were saying that the demo can lead into the full release, right?
Yeah, so when you play the game, it does ask you to sign up with a Square Enix account because whatever you get in the demo will carry over if you choose to purchase the game. And it also has cross-play and cross-progression. So obviously they need a unified account. So if you play it on, I believe it's on PC, Xbox, PlayStation, and Stadia when it comes to Stadia.
Interesting.
So it's cool. It's kind of cool that it's going to be cross-play. You can play with friends no matter what system they're going to play on, which is really nice. Instead of just inviting someone to your party, in the bottom corner there's a create my cross-play code, and then you just give the code to whoever you want to play with, and they just punch it in, and it should work. We haven't had too many problems with matchmaking. It's been pretty easy to jump in and out of lobbies with friends, so which is good.
So you've been playing crossplay currently?
I don't think crossplay is enabled in the demo, but they will have it at launch.
Okay,
so my crossplay button's grayed out, but I've been playing with friends on PlayStation. It's been perfectly fine matchmaking.
Nice.
Which has been good. Yeah, been really fun. What about you? What have you been playing?
I have been playing primarily one game. It's a game that I can't currently discuss. It is on the Switch. There's not a whole lot I can say today, but it is something that I can talk about in the coming days. So keep an eye out. If you know me, you know it's up my alley. It couldn't be any more Ryan game. And I'm very excited to talk about it.
You're playing Breath of the Wild too, aren't you?
No. Because that is a very Ryan game.
It was your game of the year it came out, wasn't it?
Not even close, I don't think. But yeah, so like that's been a blast. I'm so
glad you played some PlayStation games in like preparation for the PlayStation show that you host.
See, looking back, I don't think I played any PlayStation this week.
Didn't you play Knack this morning?
I was playing Knack with my kid today. So my kid's 4 and he's starting to enjoy games. We've talked about that before. But it's like for him, I'm trying to find games that aren't super kiddie because he's certainly progressed.
I think he's old enough to play Dark Souls now.
Yeah, I think he's getting
like
there.
This is what you have to look forward to, and just watch him bash his head over.
No, I'll give him Neo. I think he'll benefit from the fast paced action at the moment, but then in time we'll make the switch to Dark Souls. But yeah, so like we're playing Knack this morning because he likes the idea of the character growing big and small. He finds that hysterical, and it is an easy game because there is no lives. It's just health bars and you just regen at the start and go again. So it's mm-hmm. teaching great perseverance for him as well, and sort of resilience, as he's getting beaten, to then go and try it again and give it his best, as we try to say. And he goes, oh, I could give it my best. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, dude. And he keeps trying, and that's good. And other than that, like I don't think I played any other PlayStation. I may have on like last week.
Because you were streaming on PC last night, weren't you?
I did. So I played The Forest with fellow Manshake Ambassador Lloyd. He's the Delicate Stone on Twitch. Yeah, he and I were playing The Forest again last night. No, I've not played that since I think it was beta. That game has come so far. And yeah. I gave it a little sample before I jumped into the stream with him last night. So I put about 20 minutes in it. You know why I only put 20 minutes in it? Because I fucking died so fast. So fast. Like, I was walking and I just built like a little fire in a small hut. And I was walking slightly away from the plane. Two cannibals rocked up. One of them looked at me. The other one looked at me. And then it was like Jurassic Park. One just jumped off the side and mushed my face off. So it was like, clever girl.
So the one thing I like about The Forest is a lot of the good items are in a fixed spawn location. They're not randomized.
Yeah.
So every time I start The Forest, I run straight into the caves and grab the samurai sword.
what? I need you to direct me where that fucking samurai sword is.
And then nothing can kill you. You just run around with samurai sword forever. Yeah. You just never change it. It's so good.
Nice. Well, because like, yeah, we found some like weird shit. Like we found this random shorefront and we ended up building our cliffside mansion. There was just dead sharks everywhere.
Yeah.
It felt like Death Stranding, but with sharks, and it was weird. And there was turtles everywhere, and I felt very guilty having to kill them for food.
Oh, dude, no joke. Ali was sitting in here with me, and she's like, why is Ryan killing turtles? I'm like, because he needs rainwater. She's like, he should just die.
And I agree. I felt disgusting the whole time. Obviously, the first one I killed was really, I felt horrible. And then I got progressively easier after time.
Easier.
But yeah, it was difficult. But I did need that rainwater and that meat.
And then that brought up it started a conversation about which Ninja Turtle you'd kill out of the four.
Ooh, that's a good question. Ooh. I don't know. I have to come back to you on that one. Because like, you know, Donatello's, he's like the smart one on the and then like Leonardo's pretty mad. Probably Michelangelo, he's probably the most boring. Like I had to think what his name was for a second there. I was like, yeah, Leonardo, Raphael, yeah. Like, what's the other one? Michelangelo, like, clearly the one I thought of last. He can fuck off. He's fine. Anyway, that's enough about what we've been playing or what I can tell you that I've been playing. This game, the section called Inform the Players, we tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. And we'll be kicking things off, Max, with that state of play. And we have a lot to say.
Yeah, so with the state of play kicking off, you can tell I wrote the news yesterday. With the state of play kicking off Friday morning, here are the games that were shown. This is not in order, I believe. Yeah, I think so I just broke them
down.
We'll
stop and have a chat after each as well.
So we got the Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate, I believe it is getting PlayStation 5 version of the game. If you purchase the PlayStation 5 version of the game, it comes wrapped or bundled with the bonus episode that has Yuffie and co in it. That's coming on the 10th of June. However, I'll put it in here. I think I've got it later in the news. This version is not upgradable from the one that we're getting next month as a part of PlayStation Plus.
Interesting. So obviously this is more up your alley in terms of announcements. I looked at it and I went, okay, I can see the visual differences, like lighting effects were the first thing I really noticed that looked substantial. I was like,
this
damn,
might
that looks
be
great.
What gets me to come back to it.
Because you never finished it.
Oh, no, I finished it. I was going to go back and platinum it. And then once I finished, I'm like, I don't know if I want to dive back into it straight away. This might be what gets me back in.
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
Yep, we also got Kena Bridge of Spirits. We got another gameplay trailer, I believe, and an announcement date of the 24th of August coming to both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5.
This looks so fantastic. It looks really,
yeah, this
really
was,
good.
This was one of my highlights from, when was it? The back end of last year when they did the showcase of what's coming to PlayStation 5. This game really stood out. The artistic style that they're using kind of won me over straight away.
Mm. It was by far the big standout for me. There's one game that stood out more. But yeah, at least from a artistic, from a creative vision, it looks brilliant. I think the common reference that everyone sort of uses is it looks like a DreamWorks movie or a Pixar film.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. Even down in the cute little creatures and stuff, I'm super sold on it. I don't entirely know whether it's a Ryan game at this point, but I am super keen to give it a go. I have a feeling, because it was mentioned in the chat earlier, that like this is a push date. Under those leaked original dates that we heard from CES, I believe, this was supposed to be earlier in the year. Now, we'll discuss that in a moment, but with this, Sony did say it was games that were touched upon last year in June, as well as games that are coming up shortly. So this also not in the first 6 months of the year. This was touched upon because it was shown last year, because they're kind of hinting that everything will come within the first 6 months of the year and then later. But I guess this is sort of that little asterisk to everything else. But no, I'm super keen.
We had Sifu, an online multiplayer brawler made by Slow Cap, the team behind Absolver, coming sometime this year. There was just a year date, not a... That kind of looked cool.
Yeah, so to clarify in the chat, so it was supposed to be 2020, then the developer delayed it to March, and then it's not, it's pushed. So it's been from March to August, which is fine.
Yeah.
No issue there. Sifu looks fucking dope.
Yeah, I thought it looked really cool.
It's giving me mad the Raid vibes mix. I'm getting this rogue like sort of feel. You know, the idea is you, and it had the same like hallway from Daredevil. It was funny because when that I was watching it at work and they opened that door and it's that hallway full of people. I'm like, is he going to Daredevil this hallway? And he did, and it was great.
I got the Matrix at the end when he's running, when all the Agent Smiths are running out of all the doorways in the corridor.
Yeah,
and he's just like just jumping over them. It's like that's. I want to play this. This is
cool. I am super keen for this. This looks very, very cool because I like the roguelike aspect of it. I enjoyed the Raid. I like that Matrix that influences there as well. Mm-hmm. It's because I like the idea of, yeah, you do it, you know, that whole roguelike aspect, right? Where, you know, you do mm-hmm. it, you get stronger, you come back, you try it again, you do it, you try it again, you do it, try it again. Now, I don't know whether this will be sort of like, you know, what's that word when they change things? Like what Dead Cells did, what's it called? Where the rooms are the same.
Procedurally generated.
Procedurally generated. It didn't imply that that was the case because you kind of run in the trailer, at least you run the same hallway a couple of times. So whether it's going to be procedurally generated or it's a sort of you go and give it another go and you just get better and remember the path. I'm intrigued in it. Like I'm not very good at those games because I'm just shit at games. But this certainly has my attention. And I like the idea of you getting older. It's the same reason I like Rogue Legacy. I like that how you are the next of kin and you get to pick the weaknesses, whatever. I always pick the one with IBS because it's the most relatable trait that the next generation has. I like that because as he is getting older, I wonder how much older. Is there a finite time? Can you only do it so many times before you age out, I guess?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of cool things. I'm very excited. Very exciting.
We got some more Returnal gameplay ahead of its launch on the 30th of April.
I am even more sold on
Returnal. I'm still keen for Returnal.
I was pretty stoked on it originally, but they put a little bit more story into this one than they have in the past. Because I've not watched any of their podcasts and stuff they've put up on the mm-hmm. YouTubes, so I'm coming into it. I was trying to go into it relatively fresh. They showed more gameplay that they showed that mix between that twin stick shooter but in a third dimension, you know, sort of like you're having to watch your back and stuff because things are just coming at you in every direction. Some really cool creature designs, and then it ends with this weird Resident Evil 7 / PT house. I'm like, why is there a house here? I need to know why there's a house here. I'm pretty sold on this.
Next up, we had Oddworld Soulstorm.
Oh, you have any more thoughts to it? Like, I'm surprised me just.
No, I think Returnal. I've media blacked out on Returnal. Mm. They sold me on the first trailer. I think I want to just go in kind of semi-blind with it.
Yeah.
The game looks amazing. I think I read an article by one of the directors basically saying we're charging AAA because we're putting the effort of a AAA studio into this game. Like, I think it's going to be worth what it comes out as, which is good. So, yeah.
Well, I know there was a lot of preview events that went up this week. Sorry, preview coverage that went up this week. I know that Power Up, which is an Australian place, I know they touched upon it. They had some time with it, and obviously Push Square and all the big guys did. But I recommend you go check out the team over at Power Up and what they had so far. April.
Next up, we had Oddworld Soulstorm. So we got more gameplay footage as well as the announcement that it is launching for free with PlayStation Plus. On the 6th of April.
Sorry, I was drinking. I was hoping you want to keep talking.
No.
This is cool. I like this way. It's weird that it's given away for free. Like, it seems it should be a bigger, more enticing release. But I still appreciate that it's given away for free. Why not? That's confidence, I guess. Or lack of confidence, I'm not sure.
It's interesting because we'll touch upon this a bit later with Destruction All-Stars. But I think, was it earlier this week or last week that Sony's like, we're looking at releasing more games straight to PlayStation Plus? Like, it's not a bad idea because obviously Xbox have all of their studios are now releasing straight to Games Pass. Like, obviously that's not the same as their like Games for Gold or whatever their service is.
Excuse me while I unplug my camera again.
But it's interesting to see what they will put on as a PlayStation Plus incentive now. Because obviously, back in the day, when PlayStation Plus first started, it was an incentive to buy PlayStation Plus because you got the free games, because there wasn't a need for PlayStation Plus for online play. But now that there is that need, that it's kind of mandatory to a degree, especially if you play online games, they're trying to make it seem worth it.
And I think, no, because when the game is free on PS Plus, if you don't grab it and then it's the next month, you still pay for it. Like, you can still buy it at full price. So I think the idea of it bringing something to PS Plus is certainly cool, because knowing they can still make money off it the month after. Like, so I know Rocket League was that. Obviously, many people jumped on Rocket League when it was on PS Plus, but for those that didn't, they ended up forking up, you know, full price the couple of weeks later. And that game has done incredibly well. So if it is a good game, it can certainly benefit that way. I don't know whether this would get that same result, of course, because, like, you know, it's going to be, I believe it's single player, at least the previous ones were. And for anyone that has played, you know, Abe's Odyssey New and Tasty, which was also a PS Plus game, you're essentially getting all the Oddworld games that are readily available on current generation for free, ostensibly, if you grabbed it in the past, which is cool. This game looks great. It looks fantastic. I'm open to it. I'm not super
I'm super keen for it. Oddworld was one of the first games I ever played on PlayStation.
Remember there being a fart button. The fart button always made me chuckle as a child.
Next up, we had Solar Ash, which showed some new game. Showed another gameplay trailer. No firm release date. Still slated for this year, though.
Yeah, look, I have. Was it Transfixer? Was the other game they made?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, it's one I haven't played. And so with this one, I'm in the same space. I'm like, okay, cool. It doesn't really look like a game for me. I can see it's
charm. Hyperlight Drifter.
Hyperlight Drifter. There you go. There is a
Transistor. Transistor's the other game that they did.
Yeah. There you go. Well, Hyperlight Drifter is the answer.
That's
look, it's not entirely a Betson game. I certainly like its style. I think it looks cool, but I know that I'm not going to get a lot of enjoyment out of it, because it just really isn't the thing that I would gravitate towards.
I actually think I'm in the same wheelhouse as you for this one.
Makes sense.
I'm not quite sure. It looks good, but I just don't think it's for me. A game that is for me, however, Deathloop. New trailer ahead of its launch on the 21st of May. Man, this game looks great. I'm so keen.
Saying that, though, I'm in. However.
However.
Can they just stop showing me shit?
No.
All I feel like is all I'm getting is trailers for Deathloop. Like, can we just, like, play it yet? Obviously, it's not coming out and not now for a little while, but does that mean we're going to get a stack more content between now and then for it? Like, I said the same thing about Death Stranding. I ended up loving that fucking game. So, like, who knows? Like, I am wrong constantly. I am wrong frequently. You know, I'm sure my judgment and my statement here is incredibly inaccurate, but I just want to play it.
Next up was Knockout City, which is a team-based multiplayer dodgeball game played around a cityscape. They also announced a cross-play beta to run at the start of April, from the 2nd to the 4th. This kind of looked cool.
Yeah. Not for me.
I'm a sucker for like 1v1, 2v2, 3v3 multiplayer competitive games.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that I'll check this out. The ability to just run around and, like, punch people and then throw balls at them kind of won me over. It was a very whimsical looking gameplay, which was
not a Betson game at all. Like, any game that looks at least solely multiplayer like this, I know that I'm not going to give it the time it deserves, because I don't have the time to give it.
Next up, we have Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach heading to the PlayStation 5 sometime later this year.
Ew. Not for me at all. One thing I did notice, though, is they mentioned boat. They said in one of the things, like, one of the, I presume it's the bear, I don't fucking know, said the idea, like, I'm going to get both of you, which leads me, like, is this going to be a multiplayer game?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not really a Five Nights at Freddy's guy. I think I played one game, and that was the VR one that we streamed.
Yeah, we played the VR one. I was like, that was fucking unnerving, but I'm done. I think, for me, it's just surrounded by all the internet things for it. I'm like, ugh. No.
And then lastly, Ryan, for those who want to feel the suck, oh, Crash Bandicoot 4, it's about time, coming to PlayStation 5 with DualSense support and activity cards, coming March 12th.
How fucking fantastic was that, by the way? I died when I heard you can feel the suck.
Cool.
Yeah. But anyway, look, so let's have a bigger discussion about state of plays right now. So there is a sort of a collective disappointment across the internet because this state of play didn't have what people wanted, Max. They said Sony had dropped the ball, and it's on the back of Nintendo allegedly dropping the ball in their Nintendo Direct last week, and even the Pokemon one, which is a lot more swings a lot more positive than negative from what I've seen at least. But there's always this constant discussion around state of plays or these directs being disappointing. So Max, I want to have a chat. I want to before we get into the rest of the news, I want to discuss why this could be the case.
I think people just hype them up way too much for themselves. Either they're not looking at the accompanying blog post before the state of play launches, which tells you generally almost exactly what is going to be in it. Because I believe for this one, it was, we're showing games that are coming this year. We're not doing any hardware news. We're not doing anything like that. So I kind of expected to not see anything new whatsoever. My expectations were we're going to see things that we've already seen. The only surprise was I thought we were going to see some some Ratchet and Clank, but we didn't. I thought Ratchet was going to show up for sure. I didn't expect to see Sifu, for instance. Like that kind of came out of nowhere for me. I didn't expect to, like I said, I expected to see nothing that we had not already seen.
Yeah, so I'll pull exactly. So this is from the press release that I received, which granted not everyone gets, but it is worded relatively the same, if not exactly the same, on the PlayStation blog. So over the course of this 30-minute episode, players will get an insight into new game announcements and updates on some of the third-party and indie titles announced in the PS5 showcase in June last year. A quick note, there won't be any PlayStation hardware or business-focused updates in this show. Sony Interactive Entertainment will be focusing on great games set to come out in the months ahead. So they very quickly laid down what it was going to be. The only hurdle is, like, granted Sony provided that information, they provided it in a blog, so it is readily available, and any media company that would write an article or a video about it, as I've frozen, so let me just unfreeze for one sec. So any site that is reporting on this news has that information. So it is presumably readily available for the masses. Now, we know that people don't read shit. People don't see shit. Like they pretty much see the headline or whatever social media has to say. Now, predominantly on those social media platforms, we're not seeing this news get put out. They're linking to the blog post.
Yeah.
But, so the other question is, because I'm saying back to you, people are growing it larger than they think it is because it's what they want. It's about the individual and what they are wanting to see.
I think the other thing is that if you don't look for it, when you see Sony State of Play, you expect to see the big Sony games getting shown off. They probably expected to see more Horizon. They probably expected to see God of War. They went State of Play. It's from Sony. We're going to see the big Sony titles that are coming up.
Yeah,
and that just wasn't the case because, like you read out before, they straight up said indie stuff. So people were already setting themselves up for disappointment.
Yeah, and that's the sense that I'm getting. And so where I was sort of was trying to point out was like, is this a transparency issue? So we know that Nintendo kind of just go, hey, here's a direct coming in the next couple of days. And that shortened hype window is obviously creating a lot of problems. But additionally, they're not going out from where, once again, sitting in a PlayStation ecosystem, it's very unlikely, echo chamber, sorry, it's very unlikely that I'm going to see any posts about it. Where Xbox did the same thing. They're like, here's coming, and you all get ready to fucking shit your pants. But neither of them delivered in that place. And then of course with Sony sort of not voluntarily obscuring that information, do you think this is an intentional decision that they're making?
No, I don't think they're obscuring the information. Like, they're making it readily available. It's literally at the click of your finger.
But I can have the document on the table. If I don't acknowledge the document on the table, you can get it if you knew when I was standing in this room, the document's on the table in front of me. Unless you ask for that document or unless you go to it, I'm not saying that it isn't there. I'm just not going out of my way to show it to you.
But they are saying that it's there. They're saying, look, here is the blog post about it. click this button and you can have a look for yourself.
True.
And like to take it back to let's talk about the Pokemon Direct that happened a couple of days ago. People have been demanding a Sinnoh remake for years. They got it and they're not happy because they're like, well, they're bobble-headed characters. Like, why ruin it? Like, you got exactly what you wanted and you're still not happy.
That in itself is a bigger discussion just around the entitlement of it. So it's a discussion like every time at E3, like, oh man, they didn't give me what I wanted. What's not a fucking about you, mate? Like, you one person, you hashtag, gamer trademark, it's not you. These are designed for everyone, literally everyone. If there was one that was designed for you, like, it would probably be the most garbage presentation we've ever seen. But, and on top of that, and these are just marketing, right? They're selling a game to you, and you're like, you're not selling the game to me correctly.
I mean, a lot of people are still going to buy them.
No, they're still going to buy it.
Yeah.
It makes no fucking sense. It's this weird line. People are like, games are being announced too early. Too much information is being handed out before release, so they don't say anything. Why the fuck aren't you telling me things before release?
I mean, we've been in an interesting situation lately. Like, yes, to a degree, sometimes games can be announced too early. Like, last year or the year before when we got the literal title of Elder Scrolls 7 or whatever number they're up to. It's like, why? We all know you're working on it. Don't show us that, because all that's going to do is start the mob wanting more.
Yeah, and that creates expectations. And every time Bethesda does anything, the answer is, what are you doing with Starfield? What are you doing with Elder Scrolls?
But then you've got it the other way where when was it? Fallout 4 was announced and released within like 2 months.
Yeah, it was announced in June and it came out in November. And that was cool. Like, however, as we've come to learn, that had its own hurdles. And from a developmental perspective, because they were working in such a closed off environment, they completely missed games like The Witcher and how RPGs needed to grow.
Yeah.
So there was no like time to take in feedback and alter accordingly, It's
They're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, the majority of the time.
I feel that's the situation that these companies are in. Now, I'm not sitting here to defend companies, right? Because, like, once again, it's all business. And for some reason, all the individuals that consume gaming content, that for them, it's that, they seem to forget. Well, most people tend to forget that it is a business. So, like, they're not acting in the interest of the gamers. They don't give a fuck about the gamers. It's about shareholders. It's about prices. It's about money. So, like, they're like independent studios are the ones that are doing it for the love of the games, for the love of the art form. And they're the games that people dismiss, myself included. I'll admit very clearly that I dismiss most independent games. And I shouldn't. And I really shouldn't. But I'm also not sitting here being like, why the fuck aren't you telling me the things I want to be marketed to? it's weird. Like, it's frustrating from an outside perspective when I'm like, right now, what's happening at work? All my clients that are Nintendo fucking fanboys and girls, they are forever telling me about this Switch Pro that's just right around the corner. I'm like, where? How? I've heard literally nothing from any reliable source about the idea of a Switch Pro. And they were banging on about a Diamond and Pearl remake. I'm like, A, why do you want that? Why do you want continuous remakes? Additionally, the only reason that we think it was coming was because of pattern and history. But like, other than that, they were adamant. Like, it's fucking coming and it's going to do this and this and this and this. I'm like, really? Is it? Like, right now, using God of War as an example, I fucking love 2018's God of War. If not for me, if not for me alone, game of all time. I love that game dearly. Right now, with whatever Ragnarok is going to be, presumably that's what it's going to be called, I don't want to hear about it every week. I want to hear about it when it happens. And like, even so much that Corey Barlog this week went out on Twitter and literally said, I don't know who needs to hear this, certainly not me since I've never heard of it, but when it's done, trust that it's best for everyone. He's essentially saying, you'll see it when it's ready. whatever it is, I don't know what it is, he's intentionally being coy. He doesn't mention God War specifically, but it's pretty obvious that's what he was referring to.
Yeah, but it's interesting though, because you look at you take his words where it's you will see it when it's ready to be seen, and then you get BioWare showing us literal mesh polygons of Dragon Age 4.
That is so frustrating. Like if I had to watch another EA conference where they just show you concept art, fuck them.
But don't get me wrong, there are fans who kind of want to see it. There are fans who want to see the development throughout and see how it's progressing and how it's going. It's not for me. I'd prefer to see it when it's coming. Mm. I kind of don't want to see under the skirt, so to speak.
Part the kimono. Like,
part the kimono. Yeah. Just when it is ready, it's ready. Good. Show me then.
Mm. But
look, because otherwise you run into this situation and you cyberpunk yourself.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. Because even on top of that, like I'm in a very lucky and entitled situation here. So,
yeah.
as you guys know, I'm very excited about the upcoming Story of Seasons game, right? Obviously, I'm a big farming game, and Turn Left Distribution, which is the company here, the publishing arm here in Australia that's distributing it here. Sorry, this distribution arm, not publishing arm. They are going ham on their socials about it. And
tell me about it.
My
Twitter feed is literally filled with it. I'm not even a farming guy. I was like, why is this? What is this nonsense?
So because I'm friends with Kat, the woman that works at Turn Left, I messaged her and be like, can you not like do this? Because you're killing me, man. Like the hype is too much. Like jokingly, of course, I'm just fucking kidding around. But even then, like I'm super stoked for that game. I'm like, there is so much of this around. Like it's becoming unbearable. Saying that though, I'm still super fucking keen for it. But
every third post on my Twitter is currently a Nintendo ad for Monster Hunter Rise.
Yeah, they
I'm just like, I know it's coming. Please,
Twitter algorithms hit hard for you, eh?
Relax.
But yeah, because it is right around the corner, so like, I guess is that it makes sense to push it that hard, and it's looked to be a good release. So I don't know. I guess it's really, really tough. But I get, like, we are in a different situation, and knowingly, right, because of the nature of the world we're in and the circles that we are a part of, we don't have that traditional hype anymore.
Mm.
Like, I've been in doing some sort of game coverage for like 6 years now, so I'm pretty cynical most of the time. So, like, I guess I'm just more burnt out than others, and I'm sure that plays a role. Like, I just don't get hyped anymore.
Fair enough.
But yeah. Oh, in short, everyone that's disappointed by this state of play, shut the fuck up.
You bought it upon yourselves.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Ryan. Well, hot off all the announcements from the state of play, we now know what titles will be coming to PlayStation Plus next month. And after the banger that we had this month, they really needed to... I think they've done it. I think they followed through.
Hmm.
So first up, we have the puzzle game. I think it's Maquette.
Maquette. No idea.
We have Final Fantasy VII Remake. So again, this version will not have the free upgrade to the PlayStation 5 version. Don't get that confused. We have Remnant from the Ashes, which is basically a third-person Dark Souls shooter. And for the VR fans, we have Farpoint, the scary game with all the spiders on the weird planet.
Yeah, that game was fucked in terms of the spiders. The only thing that obviously people weren't have the VR aim controller, which you still have that, don't you, in my one?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I've always had that aim controller. My aim controller.
you've had it long enough. I'm pretty sure, like, you know, it's yours now, I guess.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII Remake's obviously the big one here. That's a massive release, especially for free. For many people, the game of the year for last year.
Mm.
I think you put it as your game of year.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
If not, it was very high on my list.
Yeah.
Well, I may have made like a BS call and did Persona 5 Royale.
I think you did. You piece of shit.
But again, like I said, this month we had Control. We had some big titles, and they're following it up again with Final Fantasy VII. Following month, we already know we're getting the new Oddworld game. You know, you got stuff to look forward to just coming with your subscription.
Yeah, like they looks like they're trying to incentivize it, I guess, a bit, which is nice.
And I think the other thing is, I think the Final Fantasy VII exclusivity with Sony is coming to an end. So it's interesting that they're throwing it on PlayStation Plus now.
That is a very, very good point. Essentially, the month that it goes cross-platform, presumably, they're like, it's free on PlayStation. Like, then it's just sticking fingers in the air. Like, that's so mad.
Yep.
I love it.
Next up, we have some Sony Japan news. So Sony has officially confirmed that it is, quote, reorganizing Japan Studio effective 1st of April. One of the oldest first-party teams within the platform holders group of teams will be restructured around Team Asobi, the developer with the recent Astro's Playroom built into the PlayStation 5, as well as Astrobot Rescue Mission and the Playroom VR. A statement shared with IGN, quote, in an effort to further strengthen business operations, Sony Entertainment can confirm PlayStation Studios Japan Studio will be reorganized into a new organization on the 1st of April. Japan Studio will be recentered to Team Asobi, the creative team behind Astro's Playroom, allowing the team to focus on a single vision and build the popularity of Astro's Playroom.
This is cool. Obviously, Astro is a future mascot for PlayStation. Easy. Like when we're playing Playroom and you go the little gotcha thing, and I'm like, there's always little miniature, like this little mini, I'm like, I want all of them on the shelves behind me. I want them. Like, he is adorable. He's such a cool character, and there's staggering potential for that as a marketing tool.
However, I'm kind of bummed because
Because Studio Japan, from recollection, I'm thinking of shows, but no, there's maybe not. Like, I think it's Studio Japan. Like, they're one of the departments that sort of helps everyone else.
Well, they have a big backlog. They did Ape Escape.
Yeah.
I believe they helped on one of the FromSoft games. So one of the Souls, I think it was. Mm-hmm. They've done, you know, Studio Japan have done a fair bit. And does that mean that kind of all goes away because they're getting kind of amalgamated with Team Asobi and to work on Astro stuff? Like, don't get me wrong, I would love another Astro's game. Astro's Playroom was absolutely phenomenal for a built-in game that came with your console. And I would love to see more of Astro. But it is kind of sad to see that, you know, their back catalog may kind of just disappear now.
Mm. Look, it's certainly, like, it doesn't take away any of those history games, of course. It's just, it's the same way that, like, BioWare that made Mass Effect isn't that BioWare anymore. They're still the same company, well, I mean, but internally it's different. That,
like you know, I've been holding out hope for years for another Ape Escape game. It's probably never going to happen, regardless of whether or not this studio got reorganized into a different one or not.
Like, Sony still own that. For Japan Studio, they have been that good support studio in many ways. So I just pulled up my phone to have a quick check whether I was thinking of the right studio, and I believe I am. Like, they have offered support around for a bunch. Anytime you sort of see those second-party supported titles, like, Japan Studio tends to play a big involvement because they sort of help bolster whatever they need in that creative space. So it's cool. Refocusing under one thing, not a bad thing, as long as they still provide that support system.
Yeah, they did like Shadow of the Colossus and stuff.
Yeah, so Bluepoint did that, but they assisted. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like the original.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That Team Ico. Yeah.
Next up, we have finally some PlayStation 5 storage news, Ryan.
Hey.
Sony is preparing to open up its PlayStation 5 for internal storage upgrades this summer. So, winter, I believe, for us.
Yeah.
Adding support for additional drives will be enabled with a firmware update that also unlocks higher cooling fan speeds to ensure the console doesn't overheat.
That would have been helpful at launch when my console wouldn't stop overheating.
So it's good to know that that's why they've kind of been holding off, because they've got to update their firmware. They've got to make sure the internal fans are going to be able to counter, you know, counterheat the,
well, cause it,
the
cause excess from recollection of my minimal knowledge of hardware, like, SSDs can run at like 90 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, but and it depends on if it's an actual SSD or an M.2.
Yeah,
because having a chip drive will be different to a cased drive.
Well, presumably it's M.2s.
So,
because that way there's likely no shielding on it.
It's good that it's coming. Like, we know that what's kind of holding it off. Hopefully, once that firmware comes in, they will have a list of these are the ones that we recommend you buy. And I can finally put more games on my PlayStation.
Yeah, look, it's certainly something while I unfix my camera again. God damn it. But But look, it is certainly good news to be able to rejigger, you know, like add some more to it. It's something we've been wanting. It's kind of a bummer that it's near a year after release, but you know, with manufacturing pipelines all kinds of fucked in most technology spaces, like it makes sense. By then they'll have at least some. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see a bunch of SSD M.2 announcements between now and then of like, you know, we start to hear about this new one from Samsung or this new one from WD and stuff like that.
And earlier this week, Ryan, seemingly out of nowhere, Sony announced that it has plans for a next-gen PSVR system for the PlayStation 5.
Woo!
So in a PlayStation blog post, Sony's Hideaki Nishino calls it, quote, the ultimate entertainment experience with dramatic leaps in performance and interactivity. There's very little detail at the moment, but what has been revealed sounds exciting. Firstly, there will be just one cable to set this up, which is great. The new VR system, quote, enhances everything from resolution and field of view to tracking and input. Hopefully that means any blurriness will be a thing of the past.
Nice.
And the most interesting is the mention of brand new VR controllers, because the Move controllers are hot garbage, quote, which will incorporate some of the key features found in the DualSense wireless controller, along with a focus on great ergonomics. Haptic feedback and adaptive triggers in VR will be fantastic.
That is the best news. That is the best news. Like, obviously, the new headset was coming. Cool, that makes sense. And we would presume that there would be some alterations with the camera not being supported for the, you know, the new camera not working, right? The thing that makes me wonder is it still using a camera? Should we get the new camera, like, now before they randomly spike in price? Or, you know, like Move controls, right? When PSVR was coming.
Before the scalpers buy them all up?
Yeah, because I remember when the PSVR 1 came out, I was like, oh, shit, that uses Moves. So I jumped on eBay very quickly and bought two Move controls for like $8. And then shortly after, boop, those bad boys went up. You know, it's pretty brutal. But these new VR controllers, that is the selling point for me. I expected a new headset to come. However, I was very, very hesitant on the idea of new controllers. And if they're going to bring in that haptic feedback, adaptive triggers, that's only going to add to that immersive experience. Because I know firsthand, like just playing like Blood and Truth, your brain kind of fills in the gaps a little bit. And sometimes you kind of, your brain thinks you're holding a gun when you're not. And then you feel like there's feedback when there actually isn't. So be actually able to physically have that is cool. And obviously an increased resolution screen is obviously a big plus. I'm a giant dork, so I'll be buying that day one. What about you?
Probably not day one, but I'll definitely get it.
Yeah. Next up, Tony Hawk's. So after the Crash Bandicoot took to Twitter to announce his recent glow up to the PS5, Tony Hawk himself asked the Bandicoot if he too could get a PS5 upgrade. It turns out Crash was able to pull some strings and then get an announcement made. So, coming to the PS5 on the 26th of March, it is going to cost you $10 to upgrade if you have the base version. However, it will be free for those who purchase the Digital Deluxe Edition, which was $10 more on the day, so on release. So this upgraded version of the game will run in a native 4K at 60 frames per second, or if you have a capable display, 1080 at 120. It does also support spatial audio, which presumably means PS5's Tempest 3D audio solution. There is no word, however, on DualSense support. Max, would you go back?
Yeah, man. Definitely. Hopefully it fixes the... hopefully playing one of the friends of the show, Cass, we've always wanted to play online together, but for some reason, I don't know why, he could never connect to their online servers, so we could never play together. So hopefully the PlayStation 5 has fixed his shitty network issues that the PlayStation 4 had.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
So like, that alone is going to get us to reinstall it. And the 4K 60 frames is just like cherry on top.
Yeah, the 60 frames is obviously a big plus for me. I think that's what's going to sell me on it, because it's going to make it just a bit nice and smooth. The spatial audio will be cool. So if you happen to go into like how the warehouse sounds different to say the school, you know, all these little details, I think would be nice.
I'm not too worried about the lack of DualSense feature support. I mean, the biggest one obviously is adaptive triggers. Triggers aren't used that much in Tony Hawk's games anyway.
They're just for grabbing, yeah.
So, you know, not a huge issue for me.
Yeah, but having like a different, you know, have a different rumble to the when you grind compared to when you when you're just rolling around.
That would be cool.
Would be nice.
Next up, Ryan. Vampire the Masquerade. The game on my draft list for last year is still not coming out. Publisher Paradox Interactive has announced that the Bloodlines 2 has been delayed indefinitely and that the developers working on the title will no longer be working on the game going forward. All pre-orders for the game have closed. Wow. And the announcement on Twitter was, "Good morning, everyone. As you've noticed, we've been keeping pretty quiet for a while. With this in mind, the first piece of news we have for you is to confirm that the game is still in development. Secondly, we have made the hard decision that Hardsuit Labs will no longer be leading the development of Bloodlines 2, which also means that we will not be releasing this year as previously planned. Since we cannot at this time communicate of a new release date, we've also decided to stop accepting all pre-orders for the time being. This game is still very important to us and has been an ambitious project from the very start. In order to meet our goals for it, we've come to the conclusion that a change is needed, and as a result, more development time will be required. We'd like to take this opportunity to honor Hardsuit Labs for their efforts and thank them for their hard work on the project. The studio has done a tremendous job in laying out the foundations of the game. We hope that you, the community, will also appreciate their contribution to Bloodlines 2. We're thankful for your continuous support throughout the game's development, and we understand how important this is to you. We'd love to share more with you as soon as we can, and we'll let you know in the future what the development team of Bloodlines 2 will look like." That's got to suck that they're just getting rid of the team that developing. They're like, "We need to change. You guys are all gone."
But this has happened before. This happened with Final Fantasy VII Remake. And look how well game turned out. But I mean, like...
The game had... So I'm going to touch on that because it's coming up in the news. But yeah, it is worrying that a game that's been in development for this long, because it was supposed to come out 2 years ago, last year, sorry, and it's now lost its lead developer. They're going in a different direction. That seems crazy to me.
But yeah, like I said, it's not new. Like, it's been done and like games come out. But what I find fascinating is they were so confident that Bloodlines 2 was gonna like fucking kick the bum hole that they threw it in that Xbox conference at E3. And then they've completely it's almost like they're like, "Everyone's gonna love this shit. They're gonna see this and they're gonna blow their minds. We're really happy with what we are delivering."
They Icarus'd it. They flew too close to the sun and they burnt themselves out.
Well, yeah, either that they were like so misunderstanding where the next gen was going, what their fan base wanted, what anyone wants in general, that they proceeded to just like fucking crumble in on themselves. It's super weird because since that trailer where it looked like a back end PS3 game, they just have done nothing but bad. Like, not, I wouldn't say nothing but bad, but like they've had a really shitty time.
Oh yeah,
like it's delays. It's everyone's been pooping on it. Like, are they going too hard the other direction now rather than just trying to fix it? Like, they are overthinking the critique.
I don't know. Part of me's kind of given up on it. Like, I was keen for it, but now it's worrying me a little bit.
That's a bum. It's a bit shit for those who are excited. But everyone should be excited if you have a PC and you don't have a PlayStation. Also, why listen to the show? But that's cool. Thanks for checking it out. Days Gone, Max. Days Gone has gone from the PS5. Nice jokes, it's still there. And it's making its transition to the PC later this year. Checking on the platform store, it states that you can expect ultra-wide support, an unlocked frame rate, and improved graphics. Now, we did play this pre-release back in the day. It wasn't very good in terms of a technical perspective. However, the game itself was fucking great. I really, really loved it. I loved it so much that I bought the collector's edition. It's still back there. I don't think it's in shop, but it's behind me. But even though we did still get a review copy at the time, I still believed in it. I still picked it up, and I still absolutely loved it. The game has received stack of support since release. Nice. It runs so much better now that I can only see it being an improvement coming to PC.
I played it for the first time when the PlayStation 5 launched, because it was part of the collection that we received with the PlayStation 5. I couldn't get into it. I found it way too slow to start. And I've been told that once you get into it, it's good. And this is like, it seems crazy for me to say this. I don't know if I have the patience to put into it. And this is coming from a guy who like plays Persona games, which take like 8 years to get into the game.
Yeah, like the one critique, like one of the big critiques that I had with Days Gone when we reviewed it was that you can very clearly see that they were almost developing the game in success, like as in timeline order, because you can see visual improvements, you can see gameplay improvements, like as the game progresses. Like it's almost like they started developing the game at point one and then were stacking on it back in, right? Compared to when you think they made the end scene, then the middle, and then over here, then over here, then over here, it feels like they made it in continuity, right?
Yeah,
which is really bizarre, and it's a bizarre thing to feel, because even some of the storytelling methods that they use later on, they are so different from the start of the game because they're starting to understand. So Sony Bend at this stage when they released Days Gone, they didn't release a game on PS3. The last thing they did was a Siphon Filter game on PS2. They're great. They did some kind of like Vita stuff in between, like the God of War, Ghost of Sparta, and Chains of Olympus, and stuff like that. So they had been making games, but this was their big first console release. So it was kind of a big thing, and you can see that there was a lot of learning in the creation of that game.
Mm.
But yeah, the launch issues certainly didn't do it any much favor as well, because as Buddy in the chat does say, Days Gone just felt boring and bland for me. Throw it in launch issues and that didn't help. So he seems like he's very much on a similar space to you, Max, where the start of it didn't really grab you.
I've been told nothing but good things, so it might be one of those games that when there's a lull period, I'll go back to it.
Well, we are in a lull period-ish now, so like it's a good space. But yeah, it is a slow burn because it is very character-driven. So there's a lot of attempts to sort of help to explain and connect character moments. And in this end-of-the-world scenario, like in its apocalyptic, there's not a lot going on until the freakers arrive. So it is kind of bland and boring because it's just people surviving. Like, it's not crazy. It's not like The Last of Us... bonkers.
Yeah,
but then as the freakers start becoming more prominent and everything starts increasing in action, the gameplay goes with it and the game becomes more exciting. However, there are times where you'll just like go to somewhere, transition to a cutscene, and there's a lot of weird fade to black cutscenes going on, but that just shows where it was at in development and them learning how to like make the game. But that's a side note, by the way. There's what I'm seeing a lot on the socials, not my socials directly, but I'm seeing them around, is people being really unhappy once again that console exclusive, originally exclusive games are going to PC. You and I are very much pro this happening.
I don't see a problem with this. If again, like you pointed it out at the start of the show, they're a business, and the way that businesses work is they want to make money, and the way to make money is they put it on as much stuff as they can.
Yeah, and look, they're not going to make any more money on consoles because they're giving away for free of the PS Plus collection, right? So, like, why is somewhere else?
Why are you gatekeeping this game from everyone else?
Yeah, like, the game isn't good because there are people that can't play it. Like, I love the idea of exclusive. I love exclusive. I do like the idea that this game is built for this console, therefore it's getting the best possible experience at the time. And I love that as a premise. It rewards those that are that buy that thing. However, I'm also in the idea that, like, why does it fucking matter?
Yeah, you know, it's not going to affect me in any way.
Yeah, and like, look, this is someone with literally a fucking PlayStation tattoo and has a PlayStation show. I couldn't be any more in that fanboy space. And even I'm like, is it taking the game away from me? No. I've played it, I've enjoyed it, and I want more people to enjoy it too. Like, for we know, it may come out and be like, man, this game was really underrated, because it has become one of those games, it's like the whipping boy.
Yeah, it has.
And it's like, oh, at least it's not Days Gone, as my camera freezes. Hang on. So, yeah, like, I'd much rather be stepped away from that whipping boy status, because the game is really good. And like it does get a lot of shit on unnecessarily, as my camera freezes in seconds.
Already frozen again. Jeez.
Hey, Elgato, fix your shit. All right. I know what's going on with my cam link, but it's...
But yeah, I really have no issue with games coming out to PC.
Yeah, not at all. All right, I'll let you run through this Final Fantasy news.
I'm gonna shorten half of the next lot. So we've got some Final Fantasy news. So first up, we'll touch on Final Fantasy 15. Final Fantasy 15 will be an action-oriented experience, but will not neglect the fans who are more focused on story. In an interview with Tokyo FM One Morning Show, as translated by Gamatsu, producer Naoki Yoshida revealed a little more about what we can expect from the upcoming title. Quote, Final Fantasy 15 is quite action-oriented. It's a Final Fantasy featuring story and action, and we really want players to enjoy the story, so we're preparing a mode for players who want to just focus on the story. Since we have quite the substantial support actions, we're of course preparing something easy to operate and smooth to play. Don't worry too much if you're not good at action games. Yoshida also hinted that the story will be more mature this time around. Quote, I believe that there are certain hardships that are experienced when becoming an adult, so I want to make the main theme of this game something that those who grew up playing Final Fantasy and understand reality can still enjoy, get something out of, and think about.
I love that. Those that can understand reality, you.
Well,
that's a subtle dig at people.
And next up, I'll skip over the first half of the Final Fantasy VII news that we touched on with the release of the upgraded
version. I will just ask though, because like they're talking about the episode with like Yuffie and Co. I don't know who they are. How do they fit into the remake? How do they fit into the OG compared to now?
So Yuffie was a completely missable character in the first game.
Okay.
If you didn't rescue her, I don't think you ever got her.
Interesting.
So she's a ninja. She's kind of cool. She's fine. So it's interesting that they're putting her in so early, because I don't think you ever got her before in the first disc. So I don't think she would have existed in what they referred to as part one.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how they introduce her that early in the story, because I don't think that happened. Because you definitely didn't meet her while you were in Midgard. You find her like randomly in a forest encounter. So you've got to be out of the city to do it. So it'll be interesting to see how they incorporate her in.
Okay.
So the enhanced version of Final Fantasy VII will include better lighting as well as graphics and optimization modes. There will also be a photo mode with faster load times, and the two different graphical modes can also be selected at any given time. One will display visuals in 4K, while the other boasts 60 frames per second. News has broken that Part 2 is currently in development and will only have one director this time around instead of the three directors that Part 1 had. So this info comes directly from Nomura himself, who recently spoke to Famitsu. He said, quote, since we were able to solidify the base gameplay in the first part of Final Fantasy VII Remake and are able to see what we need to improve upon in the future, Naoki Hamaguchi will be entrusted as the director on the next part, while I will be involved as the creative director on all things Final Fantasy VII, including the remake and the mobile titles. My basic involvement in the work won't significantly change, so please give me your continued support. End quote. Yeah, and all those Final Fantasy patents that we were seeing over the last couple of months, yeah, they're mobile games. One's a mobile battle royale game, and the other is a mobile like storytelling of the Final Fantasy VII story.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I guess. Yeah.
Oh.
Mobile games, people.
Speaking of disappointing, Anthem! Fucking dead.
I'm actually so bummed about this.
Following an internal meeting earlier this month, the major overhaul plan for BioWare's Anthem, or Anthem Next, I believe it was called, has now been officially cancelled. A new blog post states that while the live service will remain active, development on any new content or updates has ceased. Quote, I know this will be disappointing to the community of Anthem players who have been excited to see the improvements we've been working on. It's also disappointing for the team who are doing brilliant work, says Christian Daly. They're doing so brilliant, why'd you can them, bro? Daly goes on to explain that the COVID-19 pandemic had a huge impact on the team's production efforts, meaning it couldn't finish everything it set out to do. Attempting to follow through with its plans would have placed too much, quote, undue stress on our teams, end quote. He then thanks the fans who stuck by Anthem for their passion, kindness, and encouragement. Quote, game development is hard. Decisions like these are not easy. Moving forward, we need to lesser focus our efforts as a studio and strengthen the next Dragon Age and Mass Effect titles while continuing to provide quality updates to Star Wars The Old Republic. No, it wasn't COVID that made it hard. You delivered a subpar game and now you're choosing to bounce out because the return of investment is too high.
I'm pretty sure the team that was working on Anthem Next or whatever it was going to be has been completely shifted to that of Dragon Age 4. And then they announced that Dragon Age 4 will no longer be a live service game. It will be a single player title, which it should have been to begin with.
Yes. So at least they're learning. Like there appears to be some learning in EA in terms of what this should be. But yeah, to me, I'm sure COVID played a role. Whoop-de-doo. It's been a year. Things like get either you adapt or you fucking fail. And it appears that they have straight up failed.
Yeah.
And for them, yeah, it is simply they did not want to support it any further. Mostly because people wouldn't pay for DLC, and that's the only way they'd be worth it for them, quote unquote.
Yeah, of course.
Because they're not gonna No Man's Sky it and release free DLC, because what's the point? Like, the name is so tarnished and broken. I don't think they have the time nor the care to want to straight up put the effort in.
Yeah, no, I agree.
They'll just rather bury it under the rug than let it have a redeemable name.
The issue is now that Dragon Age needs to be this almost perfect game.
Yeah, there's a lot of expectation on that title now, which sucks.
I'm going to let you take the next story because I have no idea what it is.
Cool. Okay. Hideo Kojima said last summer that he'd recently had a major project cancelled and that that he was pretty pissed about it. But that's the games industry for you, he said in a quote. There's a good chance the title was scheduled to release on Stadia. As VGC report reveals that Google was in talks to create a, quote, episodic horror game, end quote, for its cloud streaming platform. And Kojima himself mentions how he wanted to make some games for the cloud. So adding to the idea of his big floaty narrative around Strand games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Everyone thought he was just talking out of his bum hole. With the shuttering of all its internal studios at Stadia, it would be presumed that this was the loss that this game was lost in the fold. However, it does appear that the project barely even began, according to sources. And of course, Kojima Productions, unsurprisingly, haven't commented on this at all. I just love it. It's very interesting, like that they would make a game exclusively for Stadia, but also I kind of fits that floaty narrative idea that...
But it also makes no sense, because if they're getting a game designed by Kojima, presumably through Kojima Productions, what does shutting down of internal studios for Stadia have anything to do with it?
That's my point. So
an internal studio wasn't developing it.
That was my point. That's the point that I was making there.
Okay,
though you would some people might assume that as Stadia has folded everything in, it got lost in the fray. Nah, not at all. It barely fucking started by the sounds of it. So it looks as if there may have been this big grand idea and Kojima kind of had probably this vision and it didn't happen to go that way. So this means a couple of things. A, it means that obviously that Kojima still wants to do something horror related after his Effects of Silent Hills going nowhere. Thank you Konami, you ass. He still has it in him to do something horror related, and this is an intriguing part of me. Like, will we ever see this some other day? We don't know. We have been talking for so long today, we may not have time to discuss it, but it's pretty huge, I think.
Talk some quick bitties, Rome. So Destruction All-Stars has been reduced in price to $20 if you missed it during its tenure on PlayStation Plus. Which is very interesting. The Outriders demo is currently live and will be live for the foreseeable future, even past when the game's launch. You should definitely check it out. Survival horror game Tormented Souls has cancelled its PlayStation 4 version. Still coming to PlayStation 5, however. The Mortal Shell Enhanced Edition for PlayStation 5 will be releasing on the 4th of March. Free upgrade for those who already own it on PlayStation 4. Hot Wheels Unleashed received a release date of September 30th, coming to both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. Cyberpunk patch 1.2 has been delayed out of February due to the hacking crisis. It aims for a release late next month at the earliest.
Sweet. So that roadmap, that whole video that they made about it, absolutely worthless.
I mean, to be fair, their entire company did just get hacked, and apparently a lot of the workers are currently locked out of their work accounts and can't do anything.
That would put a big stopper on it.
That's obviously going to put a big stopper on it. Sony's Play at Home initiative is back with Ratchet and Clank on PlayStation 4 free from the 1st of March.
That's very cool. That's a nice little touch. So Play at Home is a great incentive that they had during quarantine last year, and it's good to see that's continuing because COVID ain't going away. Hang on, let me one. No one talk for a sec while shit fixes cameras. God damn you, son of a bitch camera.
And that is it. Let's
get into the top 10 best-selling games on the PlayStation 4 for the week ending the 21st February 2021, and they are as follows: number 10, God of War; number 9, Red Dead Redemption Deuce; number 8, Assassin's Creed Valhalla; number 7, Persona 5 Strikers; number 6, Tekken 7; number 5, Little Nightmares 2; number 4, NBA 2K21; number 3, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War; number 1, FIFA 21; and number 1 is Grand Theft Auto.
Good to see Little Nightmares still there.
Yeah, and Strikers not getting a big rub in there, but I guess it's a situation of, like, it's not really for everyone with the new genre change. Did you pick it up this week? Because I know you played a little bit.
No, I haven't yet. I picked up because I picked up Bravely Default. So I figured that was going to take up a lot of my time.
Yeah, so the next pay is probably going to be Strikers.
Probably.
Nice. And do we have any games that are coming out this week, Max?
Yes, we do. We have Mequette releasing on March 2nd. I think it'll come to PlayStation Plus. I believe it's the 6th generally, or usually around that day. Yep. It's the first Tuesday of the month. It might actually be that.
The 2nd, yeah.
We have Sir Lovelot coming to PS4 and PS5 March 3rd. And we have, I think that is it. Yeah, that's it for this week.
All right, cool. Well, at least
the week after we've got Crash and all that stuff.
So things are slowly picking up a little bit. Also, it's still only 2 games this week, but things are happening there. Like, you know, this might be a good time to go play Days Gone, ladies and gentlemen. It's pretty chill. But big week this week. Big long.
Or played in that sweet, sweet ultra wide when it comes to PC.
Yeah, get around it. Anyways, thank you everyone for joining us for this longer than usual episode of For the Players, the Pop C PlayStation podcast. Let us know what you thought of the state of play, etc., in those comments below. Or if you have made it all the way through the end of the show, thank you.
I was going to say, it's not actually a longer than usual show. It's just that we started chatting 20 minutes prior to the show. That's so it true. Feels a lot longer.
It does feel longer. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we did go live a little bit early. So I'm looking at the live time. I'm like, damn, that seems like a long time we've been live. But we also did open up the chats a bit early today.
Yeah.
Either way, thank you everyone once again. Max, you know what you got to do.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, please check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of our links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where just like many wonderful, wonderful people did today, you can become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are on YouTube, if you are on the podcast services, 5-star rating and a written review would be much, much appreciated. Or if you are on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a comment below. We endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support the show financially, you can patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Look, only like 4 camera freezes. That's pretty good. It's a massive decline compared to my stream last night. Win.